Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Hello. Y'all doing okay? Yeah? Is it good? Someone over here, very much. Glad. Glad you are. Hey, so we have been in a series called Recalculating, where we're talking about what do you do when your direction in life gets thrown for a loop, when you have to make other plans. And I know that that doesn't apply to anyone in here necessarily, but one day you might have a plan that doesn't work out. That's a joke. And we've looked at a couple of different situations. The first week, what do you do when you screw up your own life? And that there's grace for that. And what happens in that situation? How do you respond? Last week, we talked about what happens when other people, when the choices of others, or just something that happens in the world kind of takes what you were doing and the plans for your life and it kind of makes them crumble and you have to figure things out. But as a pastor, one of the things that I've noticed, and being in ministry in some way since I was like 16, just noticing that often people that are trying to follow Jesus, they want to know what God's direction is for their life. They want often God to speak into their life and to give them some sense of the right way to go. A lot of times I've noticed it's around, you know, kind of big decisions. Is this the right job to take? Is that the right place to move? Is this the right person to spend the rest of my life with? Maybe there's some broken relationship and what should I do about that? And often people that are trying to follow Jesus want God to speak into those situations. And, you know, since human history started, people have been trying to get direction from the outside. They want the divine to speak into their life, or at least they think they do. Sometimes when God shows up and says something, we're like, ooh, can you try that again? Because we may not be super excited about what he has to say. But often, for thousands of years, people, whether it's sacrifices in temples, or they have to go on some long pilgrimage, or they have to get to just the right person who's gonna have just the right insight that they're hoping is actually from God. There's people that have gone through a lot in human history to try to get direction from God. And what I want to do is look at in our scripture a bit of what might be kind of a model of what that looks like for us as followers of Jesus to get God's input on the direction for our life and to let him help us recalculate and redirect, that there would be some surrender involved. And so a little bit of context about what we're looking at. In the book of Acts, this is the kind of recording the early history of the church. Just after the ministry of Jesus on earth, the church explodes. And there are thousands of people coming to be followers of Jesus in this new way of being with God. And it's going so well that they start running into problems. Sometimes when the thing that you're a part of starts growing, that actually leads to challenges. And so the apostles can't keep up with the needs and they recruit seven other people, one of them named Stephen and another named Philip. Now, Philip is who we're gonna focus on most of today. And Philip ends up being a part of this plan A that's going really well until his friend Stephen gets arrested for being a follower of Jesus and executed publicly. And then plan A collapses. And this persecution breaks out in Jerusalem and the early church and its leaders scatter all over the place. Philip goes somewhere that would be maybe pretty safe to hide from the Jewish authorities. He goes to Samaria. That's a small country just north of Jerusalem. It's actually almost kind of inside of the country of Israel. And there is major animosity, major hatred, major racism between these two groups. And so Philip goes up there to hide out because a good Jew doesn't go to Samaria. Interestingly, Jesus did. And so maybe that's why Philip feels like he can go there. And wouldn't you know it, on plan B, the same thing happens there that was happening in Jerusalem. We're on plan B because plan A fell apart, and people start coming to know Jesus. And they start changing their lives and following him. And the power and the presence of God shows up, so much so that the apostles have to send Peter and John to play catch up with what's going on in Samaria. And there we'll pick up what's going on starting in verse 25 of chapter 8. It says, after they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem. So Philip is still in Samaria, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So plan B is going really well now. Now, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, so this is the moment God shows up and Philip has some room for God to speak into his life. He says to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Okay, I think it's interesting that we often want God to speak into our life. I do. But here God shows up and it says the angel of the Lord. Now, that is a phrase that is used fairly often, especially in the Old Testament. And when it says the angel of the Lord, which seems to be some designation that we don't have a lot of information about, some people believe that this is the presence of Jesus himself. Angel just means messenger. So is this the word of God, in a sense, Jesus, or is it just some heavenly messenger, spiritual messenger? But when it says angel of the Lord, someone usually gets a major redirection in life. Now, when that is the phrase that is used, like Moses gets sent from the wilderness on a hard mission to the most powerful person in the world, saying that you need to let all of your slaves go or else. And so the angel of the Lord, pretty much every time he shows up, there is some major redirection that happens. And he shows up to Philip in this place, I imagine some dramatic encounter. And he says, hey, you know how plan A was going well and then it fell apart? And now you're part of plan B and it's going really well here. You need to leave. You need to leave. All of the stuff that's going well here, it's time for you to go. And by the way, you're gonna walk to Gaza, which that road, not the direct, like if you could just draw a line on a map, but the roads would have taken him about 50 miles on foot to the desert, on the desert road to Gaza. He would have had to walk 50 miles to the desert. Now, when God shows up and wants to recalculate our lives and give us space, that is honestly not what I want to hear. Hey, this thing that's going well, gotta go. And by the way, we're gonna go somewhere that isn't a lot of fun. And it's gonna take a while, and it's gonna be a bit of an investment, a bit of a disorientation. But let's pick this up in verse 27. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Okay, so a little bit about who this guy is. So Ethiopian eunuch. It says he's from Ethiopia, which in their mind was not a specific country. That's obviously the name of a country today. But would have meant pretty much everything south of Egypt. If it was south of Egypt, that was Ethiopia. And this guy was a eunuch and in charge of the treasury. Now, what that means, I'm assuming eunuch isn't a word that you use a lot in your daily life. If it is, I'm wondering what you do. But he's a castrated male for the purpose of, he was probably made that way as a boy, being prepared for his role in the kingdom. And that was to take some of their ambition away. That was the thought there. And that he could be given a very delicate and important role and they wouldn't have to worry about his ambition running away with things, either to take advantage of the queen, who he was interacting with on a regular basis, or to stage a coup. This was often the thought was that if we could remove part of their body, that would mean that they would be less likely, less testosterone driven to like take over the country or something like that in the place that they were. Now it says that he was traveling to Jerusalem to worship. So we don't know the timeline. I think that it looks like there's a decent chance that he had gone up there for the festival of Pentecost. That would have been the moment when the Holy Spirit hits Peter and the whole people gathered and Peter preaches and thousands of people come to know Jesus. But I don't know if it's that festival or not. But there's something going on in this man's heart that he has heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Hebrews. And he has traveled to be a part of what is going on in the temple, which would have been a glorious sight. So this is a major journey that he's going to get in the temple where the presence of God is so that he can meet this God that he's heard about. The temple at that time had the largest footprint of any building on the planet, and it would have been a massive spectacle. Massive spectacle. And so he would have journeyed a long way at great cost and time and gotten up to the temple in the middle of the uproar of a festival, and he would have been turned away at the door because he was a eunuch. And the laws were that you can't come in if you're a eunuch. Now, like I've said before, I don't know whose job it was to check IDs at the door. But I'm glad I don't have that job. But it was someone's job to say, you are too broken, you're too messed up, you have been too wounded, either by choices you made or someone else made them for you, whatever, but you do not have access to the presence of God. And he would have had to do a U-turn and go home. And it is on his way home from getting turned away at the door of the temple that Philip sees him coming. God sent Philip into the wilderness to meet this man who was in a much greater wilderness. And it's often that I think that God redirects our lives for the sake of others. Usually we want to hear God give us direction for us, and that's good. Should I take that job? Should I marry this person? Should I move here? What should I do? But often God's direction in our lives is for the sake of others, and we want to give space to let the Lord redirect us and change our life for someone else, often someone who is in a wilderness and broken in their own. And when two wildernesses, Philip's and this man from Ethiopia, when two wildernesses touch, the Holy Spirit can move in really powerful ways. And the Spirit, like whatever this is, some impression on his heart that just says, go up to the chariot. As Philip's been redirected for the sake of someone else to a difficult place, let's just watch how this interactions and maybe interaction flows and maybe a bit of a model for us. So starting in verse 29 again, the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said. Okay, so how many of you have ever done your best to read scripture? And if someone said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? You're like, no. I have that happen on a regular basis. Am I the only one? Just, okay. Like, do you understand what you're reading? Nope. Don't got this one. He says, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from this earth? This is a passage about Messiah, when the Messiah was going to come, written hundreds of years before Jesus. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Okay, well, a couple of things that happened that I think are pretty great. So when God redirects Philip, he's on this road, and he gets this little nudge in his heart to go stand next to the chariot. So God's first move for Philip is proximity. There is someone who is broken out there, and I just want you to go near them. I just want you to go near. This is very much like Jesus. When God wanted to minister to us, when he needed to heal the broken world, he didn't lob healing over like the wall, like from heaven into our broken world, saying, I hope that helps. He left heaven and came close in the person of Jesus. And often when he sends us for the sake of others, the first step is just to come close to people that are broken. To come close to people that are broken. The second thing that happens is it says Philip heard that he was reading from Isaiah the prophet. Philip takes time to listen. He takes time to listen. Now, back then, people read out loud. People didn't read silently, which is actually, it turns out, fairly smart because you absorb that information through two parts of your brain, what you're seeing with your eyes and what you're hearing with your ears. And so the eunuch, like normal, was reading out loud. Libraries would have been very loud, chattery places as people were reading. And Philip is there long enough and close enough to hear what the guy is saying and maybe to get a sense of what's going on in his heart. And when God sends us to be close with people, he doesn't send us to talk first. He sends us to listen. Now, how many people would say the problem in our world is there's just too much listening? Yeah, no, not our problem. But as people of Jesus, we get to be people that could offer healing through listening. The second thing is Philip asked questions. Third thing, questions. Do you understand what you're reading? Non-threatening, caring, interested and curious about the other person. Philip asked questions. See, this man has a different skin color. He's obviously very dark skinned. He's from another culture. He's from a different part of the world. He probably has quite the accent. Philip could have made all kinds of assumptions about him and his economic status and what he believed or didn't believe. But Philip took time to ask and to learn. Do you know what you're reading? What do you think about that? What's going on in you when you see that? What's God doing in your heart? And then the last thing it says, the Ethiopian brought him up and they traveled together for quite a while, at least it seems. They took time. And it's in that space that's it's interesting to think about. Philip is heading in the wrong direction. He is on a chariot, so he is now traveling faster than he was on foot. He is traveling faster in the wrong direction. Everybody he knows and loves is back there. And he is headed towards Ethiopia at the moment. He doesn't know for how long this is gonna go on with the people that he knows and loves in the rearview mirror, but he decided it was worth it to take the time. He is pressing further into his own wilderness for the sake of this man that he's riding next to, and it took time. And what happens is absolutely beautiful. I can only imagine that this is what happened because Isaiah the prophet is talking about what's gonna happen when Messiah comes. And the passage that the eunuch was reading is here in my Bible. It's right here in chapter 53. And if Philip took him this far, he would have read him this. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name that is better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. How cool is that? And this man gets to hear that the Messiah that now has come is making a place for someone as wounded and broken as him inside of the kingdom of God, that he is going to have a name better than a son of God. that he is going to be pulled close. And it's in that place that Philip gets to tell him the good news about Jesus. And in verse 39, just to kind of bring some conclusion to the story, that he gets baptized. It says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit suddenly took Philip away. Quite the kindness to Philip. Long hike back to Jerusalem. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Did you know the oldest churches in the world are in Ethiopia? And the oldest liturgies for Christian worship are in Ethiopia. And do you know who they trace the gospel coming to them through? That man. Because Philip was willing to leave a comfortable situation and travel on foot some distance, and who listened to the little nudge of the Spirit just to go up and be close to someone and listen. Ask. Spend time. How awesome. So what about us? I find that people want God to speak to them, but they're worried that they don't know how to sort out. What does the voice of God sound like? What does that feel like? You know, in John, this is Jesus talking about himself. In John 10, he says in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all out on his own, he goes out ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. If we are in the flock that Jesus is caring for, and if you aren't, today's a good day to start. Here's something Jesus says. You already know what his voice sounds like. And you will already recognize the voice of a stranger. And that when God speaks to your heart, you'll know. God is kind. He's not confusing. You'll already know. The only thing I think that we often lack is space. Just giving God space to speak. Our prayer times, and these are good things, are often us talking to God. God, help me. God, please, we need to make it financially. God, I know someone who's sick. Lord, could you please make my coworker shut up? You know, whatever. And that's fine. But if we can make space for God to speak to us, we will already recognize his voice. You know, I think sometimes... I've seen such beautiful things happen in this church through you, through people here, because God put something on their heart. There's a population of people. There's a person here that pulled us aside once in the lobby and said, hey, there's a group of people that often feel excluded from the church, and I want to make a space for them here. I want to have a small group for them here. And she started one, and people have come to know Jesus through that. How awesome. I know some of you have said, God has just put it on my heart that family that's going through something tough, I am going to financially support them right now. I'm going to sacrificially support them in a way that matters. Sometimes, often what this looks like for me is a couple of times a week, I just spend time asking the Lord, who do you want me to encourage this week? What would you want me to say to them? And often, it's like a text message. Hey, I just felt like God put this on my heart for you. And how wrong can you get it? If it sounds like Jesus, it probably is, right? You know, and I get it wrong sometimes. Like there was one Monday morning, I felt like God put it on my heart to go by, I just felt like God was saying, I want you to stop by Red Banner Coffee this morning. Which is not a sacrifice for me. It's my favorite coffee place in town. Like, no, Lord, please don't make me. And I got there, and guess what's going on at Red Banner Coffee on Monday morning? Anybody know? They're closed. I don't know. I don't know. Did I get it wrong? Did I get it right? Was that just my subconscious being like, you need a mocha latte? I don't know. And so did I get it wrong? I don't know. But guess how many people died? Zero. No one died. I was confused, but I just got coffee somewhere else. And I think sometimes if we step out, we're concerned, but it's okay. God's going to cover it. And often, if it's a dramatic change that God wants to introduce into our life, he's good enough to make it a dramatic encounter, to confirm it over and over again. When he needed Philip to make a dramatic change and leave Samaria, he gave him a dramatic encounter with the angel of the Lord. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing it was big. And when he needed Philip to take a small step, just get a little closer to that chariot, he just gave him a little nudge in his heart. God is good, and we can trust him to speak to us in ways that we can understand. Our role is to make space and to ask, and you can do that. We put some resources in the bulletin online and in the app that you can check out that will help you walk through how to do that in little ways, or if you've got something big in your life, how to make space in big ways, like a little retreat with God, and ways to ask and seek his wisdom and counsel. The other thing is that notice Philip knew the scripture. Philip knew it. I think we can trust our ability to hear from the Lord directly in direct proportion to how much we let God speak to us through his scripture, right? And we can always trust that God's voice sounds like Jesus. God is like Jesus. That's why he came, to show us what he's like. And so if you want to cultivate a sensitivity to the voice of God, what I would recommend is that you just find one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and walk through a simple method. It's called the SOAP method. It's not too complex. And the first thing is scripture. As you're reading something and something kind of hits you, just write it out by hand. Maybe it's the scripture about when someone said, "Who will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he grabbed a small child and pulled them close. This will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you make an observation. Jesus took a child to demonstrate what it would be like, who the greatest in the kingdom of heaven would be like. I mean, that's your observation. And then application, write out your application. And this is where we get to test, do we know what the voice of Jesus is like? Because for example, if your application is, okay, so God, I'm gonna drive around in a van, I'm gonna pick up children. No, don't do that, right? But what would Jesus say? I'm gonna find someone in my life who feels powerless and on the margins, like that child. I just want to let them know that they will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In prayer, write out a prayer. God, help me to do that. Help me to notice that person. Help me to find that person. Help me to lift them up. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. That's also in the bulletin on the app, if that's helpful to you. Now, here's the thing. Romans 8. 14, it says, for those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. For those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The world needs God's children to be led by his Spirit. There's a lot of people in the wilderness who have a lot of brokenness, and they need someone who is sensitive to the voice of the Spirit to take one step towards them, to listen, to ask good questions, to take time. And in that place, Jesus can minister to that person's heart, and they can find healing, and they can come closer to who God dreams about them being. They can know that God has space for them inside the walls of his temple, that they are welcome. And it takes those of us, you, who would God lead you to this week if you took 5 minutes a few times a week and said, God, who can I encourage this week? What would you have me do? What can I give? What can I say? Where can I go? And see what God does through you on that. So let's pray. Jesus, we wanna be a part of your healing in the world. And Lord, I pray that our folks here at LaCroix would be willing to be redirected for the sake of others. And that we would get a front row seat in how you want to care for people who are in their own wilderness. God, that you would make us encouragers and comforters, that you would make us people who have little words that we don't even understand the power of, but they will plant a seed in that person's heart that will let them know that you are good and that you're with them and you care. God, I pray for text messages and notes. God, I pray for moments where we feel led to knock on someone's door or to call someone, to sit down with people. God, and in that place, that your Spirit would move through us to heal the world. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.